Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
A harsh reality. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
The investigation into the murder of model Jasmine Fiore is far from over. Police this morning are looking into whether her ex-husband, TV star Ryan Jenkins, acted alone. They're checking to see if he had help disposing of her body and if he had help escaping to Canada.
On August 15, 2009, Jasmine Fiore's strangled, mutilated body was found stuffed in a suitcase and tossed in a dumpster in Buena Park, California. This case has become synonymous with reality TV, as Fiore's killer, Ryan Jenkins, was a contestant on Megan Wants a Millionaire, and her murder coincided with the airing of the show. This is the story of Jasmine Fiore and the reality television show Megan Wants a Millionaire.
Stuff like this is really hard. We've done a couple things where it's like a murder on television. It's really hard because we both worked in entertainment for a long time, and there should be a lot of checks and balances in place to have something like this not happen. To have someone, you know, we talk about mental illness and reality TV. We talk about violence, aggression, problematic people that get attention from being on these television shows and what happens to them afterwards and the struggles that they have. But this is like worst case scenario stuff. I think, too, about – did you ever watch Top Chef Just Desserts?
No, I'm familiar with Top Chef, but I've never watched it.
The runner-up was also, like, real – like, a horrific – and, you know, I'm going to let you – if you want to Google him, you can. I won't get into it because we have this case to talk about. But when you think about all the things that bring a person to a place where they are on television and they're performing on television, they're on a reality show or a competition or a scripted show, you'd think that there's a lot in play there. So when you see someone kind of slipping through the cracks and able to do horrific things to other people, like murder them, it's especially disturbing. It's hard for me to wrap my head around.
And, you know, reality TV has had an interesting timeline. And now we're in the late 2000s, 2009. We've talked about the Jenny Jones show Murder, and that was 1995. So fast forward almost 15 years.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there have been improvements in vetting people, but the turnover is so high. And I think the pressure to crank out these shows with so many contestants that they probably, you know, and I think we found why this one fell through the cracks, even though it's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure people knew they wouldn't let it happen, but it's something that I think could have been avoided, provided that they were like, hey, listen, this person is not going to be good for this show. And just reality TV is such an interesting world to be in. And when it coincides with personalities like this, not in every case, but, and for, I don't know, for some reason, like the late 2000s was just like a very interesting time on television. And, you know, reality TV has moved so much. And I feel like it's always the same thing, but always becomes something a little newer.
Yeah.
And changed and
it's also,
you know,
really reflective of the culture too. When you think about Megan Wants a Millionaire, which you'll talk about, but the culture changed so much from the early 2000s to the, you know, 2010 to now. And when you're casting something, like I just rewatched all of Rock of Love, and you're like, oh, this is a great personality. Look at this like bombastic person who, you know, you don't know what they're going to do next. They are drinking a lot of alcohol. They're going to be great for TV. And you see it through the lens of, you know, 2007 versus now, where it's like, do they have an issue? You know, I think we're all a lot more sensitive to, you know, do they have mental illnesses? Are there some things that we need to know that maybe we wouldn't have checked 15 years ago that we should probably check now and make sure that they don't have a certain history that we want to televise? I feel like we're kind of, you know, it's the learning curve of this has been really hard to deal with in TV, and negotiating what people want to watch versus what is safe for people to participate in.
And you know, these shows can reward poor behavior.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on what the poor behavior is, that's fine. It's, you know, it's entertainment. It's television. You can choose to watch or not to watch. And people that sponsor these shows can choose to do it or not. And, you know, I think also we could be part of the problem by watching them and rewatching them and getting syndicated, and they live forever. And unfortunately, in this case with Jasmine Fiore and Megan Wants a Millionaire, it's now going to live forever connected to a reality show, which is a really strange, kind of sad place and thing for everyone. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I'll get into a little bit into the show.
Great.
And then just to give you a little backstory, because the show happens before the murder happens, but they happen very, very close together.
That's also incredibly fucked.
So there's a chronology in there. Megan Wants a Millionaire. It was a reality TV show. Aired on VH1 from August 2nd to August 16th, 2009. Very, very short.
Whoa.
The show revolved around 17 men who had to compete in order to win the love of swimsuit model Megan Hauserman. She was a contestant on Rock of Love. And the show had problems and controversies. Not Rock of Love. That had none.
None. That was very benign.
It was, but this show already did, so it wasn't. The problem is the show wasn't necessarily poised for success anyway.
Yeah.
So whether, unfortunately, this happened or not may have not changed the outcome of the show. And if anything, it probably, well, it'll end up on a lot of lists of horrible things that have happened on reality shows, which I'm sure is horrible for everyone involved. And you know, but if you're looking for more notoriety, and I don't, I can't speak for Megan Hauserman. I'm sure the answer is no, but you probably found more in this unfortunate circumstance if the show played out.
Oh, for sure. I think this is something that I've, and again, this is perverse, and I'm admitting this to people who listen. I've sought out footage of this to give myself a sense of what went on, you know, just from knowing VH1. I also think this is one of the last VH1 shows in the VH1 machine. So I think once you got cast on something like this, you assume that you'd be on a bunch of different things, you know.
And of course, your behavior is like, oh, this person's really dynamic, or is it bombastic? We need to have them on other shows. And if it was an MTV one, you're on Road Rules Forever.
Totally. It's like Bachelor, you know. It's like you're in Bachelor Nation, and let's put you on Bachelor in Paradise, and let's get you some hosting gigs.
And they invested in you already, so you already have like an IP about yourself, and you already have a personality, so then they've already invested, there's equity in you already, so why not put you in another show? And you already, people are always like, oh, I got to see, I like her, I don't like her, I don't like him or them. I want to see what they're going to do next instead of just having fresh people every single time.
Yeah, and Megan's IP, I think, is also like pretty important to this story, in that like I'm sure versus like maybe a Daisy of Love where it felt more emotionally intense, you know, Megan was very flippant and she was very like, you know, superficial in these ways. And that was kind of her brand, is to be like, I want money, I want status. So in the casting process, perhaps, and I don't know any of this for sure, maybe they were looking for different things than they might have looked for on a, I guess, a more traditional reality show. But that's not an excuse. I want to say that too.
It had low ratings from the very beginning. So the low ratings started immediately. I don't know if it was the competition of other shows. Mm-hmm. They weren't interested in that.
Matt, she needs someone to play off of.
Yeah.
I don't think she can carry it.
For whatever reason, things don't, just because it's a reality show doesn't mean they work. Many of them fail. Mm-hmm. Some of them succeed for a very long time. And, you know, she wanted to be a trophy wife. Mm-hmm. That was what she wanted. And, you know, didn't make any, you know, allusions to anything else. Mm-hmm. She wanted to be, you know, a trophy wife. And, you know, like you said, the people they bring in.
Yeah. She's literally always in a metallic bikini. That's all I remember of her.
And Ryan Jenkins, who was a contestant, he murdered his wife, Jasmine Fiore, on August 15th, 2009. The show was airing during that time. Ugh. We'll get a little more in the chronology of it. The airing of the show, it was already midway through, and they pulled it out, you know, out of respect for the family of Jasmine Fiore. And also probably it's not a good look.
No.
You know, I don't know if people thought maybe, I don't know if executives like were like, this could be the, I mean, this could be a kind of like watching a car crash type thing. Like a very dark thing to watch. But I mean, it's also in very, very poor taste. So that you know, I believe they did the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, the show, and if the show doesn't feel responsible or culpable in some way, that's fucked too. You know, obviously this person killed this other person. But the show was so like you so intimately involved in the timeline that you can't ignore that.
So they only aired three episodes initially. There were 1 through 3 was already aired. Mm-hmm. 4 and 5 were on YouTube. And I don't know where it's at now, but there's episode 6. I don't know where it might exist. I didn't look to see. I just watched, you know, some of the, like the first episode. And so there seems to be at least 6 episodes, and what's available is probably, you can probably find now, you know, now you could pretty much find anything online. If somebody has it somewhere, or you can seek it out.
Definitely.
So the plot of Megan Wants a Millionaire, 17 single millionaires.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I suppose.
Loosely. Yeah. Loose millionaire.
Yeah.
Also, a millionaire, you know, like, do you have 1 million? Do you have 17
million? Is it 1 million liquid? Or
are we talking here? Let's see those tax returns.
It's like, my parents are going to give me their house when they pass.
It's
they
a said, nice house.
I mean, does that make you a millionaire? Uh-huh. I don't know. I don't think that was really important. It's just
And from my remembrance of it, they didn't really go into that so much.
So with the help of Megan's friends, she had a couple of friends helping her out. A
couple of buds.
The last man standing got to get Megan as his trophy wife. You just get her, I guess.
She just gets in the car with you on the way out.
She would bring celebrity guests to help her pick which contestants stayed and which were eliminated. So on the show, Ryan Jenkins said he had a net worth of $2.5 million. And he would say things like, I'm so James Bond, I'm going to rock it.
Also, how is net worth calculated? Do we know that officially? Is that a closely guarded secret of Forbes?
Sometimes I wonder if they just pick numbers.
Yeah.
You know, because it doesn't really necessarily matter. Yeah. You know, it's really the person. They probably look and, you know, the show's styled to be wealth-based. Mm-hmm. Not like challenges where you have to like jump in mud pits or anything like that. Yeah. So maybe they do that. I don't know.
I don't think there's any mud pits.
Jenkins identified himself as being an investment banker, which is vague. Sure. Hedge fund guy.
Creative director.
Here's what he does. He turns player girls into princesses.
I'm not even sure you're speaking English. A player girl into a princess?
I'm going to say this and... I mean, I'm only using this as a reference.
Job?
As a reference, but have you ever heard the term, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife? Is that how it goes? You ever heard that one? It's like that, I believe.
But he does that. He does turn hoes into housewives.
Player girls.
Player girls into princesses.
Yes.
That can't be legal, just in terms of nobility and paperwork. Also, play on player. Heard of that?
Megan Hauserman once told TMZ that Ryan Jenkins seemed like a nice guy, very charming, very educated, and mature. I don't know how
she said it, like a little like pissed off kitty. She was like, very mature, nice. That's my Megan impression.
Okay, so in March 2009, within a very short time after filming the episodes of Megan Wants to Be a Millionaire, he met swimsuit model Jasmine Fiore in a Las Vegas casino.
Mm-hmm.
How long, I don't know, I'm going to give you a little trivia question. How long after they met did they get married?
I'm going to say 8 hours.
You don't know. You don't know what, you don't know what the traditionalists they are. 48 hours.
48 hours, whoa. Playing, hard to get, the slow game, just really getting to know each other.
They knew first and one last name between
that's
the two
good.
Of them.
Okay.
So they had, you know, a quick ceremony in Vegas. They were already there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was a very tumultuous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know each other.
Yeah.
So there's strangers. Things you're getting, like, fighting and getting mad at. It's not, I mean, not necessarily the fault of the person. It's like, I didn't know this about you. It's like, well, we got married in 48 hours after meeting. And, you know, I feel like sometimes, you know, people can be very impulsive. It happens.
Sure. Well, also, like, you're in Las Vegas. You know, you're not sober. You're enamored. There's a lot of feelings happening based on hormones and substances and just the fact that you are in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Maybe he just got off his, you know, reality show trip.
Yeah.
You know, and Jasmine Furious, you know, she was kind of, you know, she like do advertisements on Howard Stern and, you know, she was like a model and, you know, she was, you know, kind of working in a very kind of kind of, you know, those environments where it's, you know, like could be a lot of excitement and
yeah,
everyone's, you know, looking for a thrill and that's where they're kind of at in life.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes with problems, probably their personalities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it's his personality that is ultimately the very, very bad. I mean, yeah. Even if she's has things where she's not a perfect human being.
No, but he's a murderer.
Yes,
you know,
he
like,
is.
It's like, it, what makes a person capable of doing that? And all of those, you know, red flags, those benchmarks, it's like, if you have that capacity, I'm sure it's shown through in little and big ways before that.
So supposedly what the impetus of this is, Jasmine was playing poker with a group of friends at the Hilton, and she was being rude, was putting Ryan down, and you know, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
he's probably annoying. I mean, he is.
He's coming off of Megan Wants to Be a Millionaire.
So I'm sure he's bad personality, and then maybe flexing. Like I'm on a TV show, like that kind of vibe. And again, the show is just beginning, so it's kind of at that, you know, interesting cross section of life.
Yeah.
It's running right now, and reality TV is like an interesting thing still to people, and it still is now.
Yeah.
You know,
and at that point, again, it was very VH1 shows were their own brand. They were very successful. And I remember when shows like that came out on VH1, they would advertise them so aggressively, like everywhere.
And then the whole group moved later to the Ivy Hotel for drinks. I don't know if I don't even recall. I mean, not in the last year, but I go to Las Vegas kind of a couple times a year. Mm-hmm. I don't even know where the Ivy Hotel is. I don't know if it's on the strip or
yeah,
not. It doesn't seem to be a very, again, that's kind of not very important, but locations are always
interesting. We want to know the context.
And then next they moved to a break.
Oh,
that's interesting.
Oh, okay.
Hello. How are you?
How is it going? Did you get through Passover and Easter or whatever other holiday that you celebrated, the rites of spring?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you, you know, hey, even your pagan holidays.
Yeah.
Hello.
In fact, especially your pagan holidays.
Especially those. But all of them, you know, hope you're doing well and, you know, checking in mm-hmm. with you. And this is, you know, it's what we do.
It's yeah.
Kind of check in. And
check in. How are you feeling? Things are opening up. The days are longer. Is that helping your mood? Is that hurting your mood? Is it hard? You're trying to reassimilate, or at least mentally so, back into a post-quarantine life.
We want to say hello to our beloved government.
Ugh, love them.
Want to say hello to our mayors, Ashley Mattson.
Ashley.
Ben Forsyth.
Ben.
Joshua Lambert.
Joshua.
And hello to our governor.
Governor.
Our governator.
Oh, yeah.
Avian Noble or Avian Nobel.
I feel like you personally struggle. This is like a personal struggle that you have every break.
It's so cool. It's like such a cool, like, rockin' name.
Yeah. You just want to do right
by it. I only know how to say like one boring syllable name, two boring syllable names. So I want to say thank you and hello to anyone who's listening, anyone who is a patron. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's so helpful.
The bonus episode, the files got corrupted. And if you're wondering, like, hey, you said they were going to be there, they're in pieces and I can't put them together. Mm-mm. So we had to re-record them. So the bonus episode should be out there. It's probably the first time it's happened.
I don't think this has ever happened.
It's never happened. And I could have done more, but I'm just not. Mm-hmm. It was taking me so much time. It'd be just easier to redo it. So
Jason doesn't get paid millions of dollars for this.
No,
you should know that.
No.
He gets barely minimum wage. Absolutely thankless from you guys and from me.
Minimum wage in 1968, that minimum wage. Not bad, though.
Not bad. Hey. Great health insurance.
Totally great health insurance. Just a cigarette for breakfast, a cigarette for lunch.
Oh, that's prefix.
Yeah, and like a Jiffy Pop on the pop with that metallic thing.
Yeah.
Want to get bonus episodes, early access, no chit chat. That is at patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Helps us out. It's great. We also have that Ko-fi thing. If you just want to like donate a dollar once, that's there in the show notes or description. A new YouTube video, another new new YouTube video coming out, youtube.com/Jason Horton, or the link is in the show notes. And, you know, it helps get the show out, helps the algorithm.
Yeah.
Give it a like, give it a subscribe, give it a watch.
You want some visuals?
Yeah.
It's got visuals.
Yeah. Head barely fits in. My head
if
is so huge.
You're crushing on Jason's head.
Yeah.
You can
I had
see
somebody
it.
Say, hey, Jason, I was like, I used to watch you when you were younger. I'm so glad you're still doing videos. It's... And plot twist, like I said, this person's 30, so I'm 86 years old.
Yes, exactly.
So I do love to see that, but I also, it's like, hey, I remember when you were popular on a thing. Don't look too much into that because the videos do not, they don't hold up well, although they were very, very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's favorite part, really, really quick, a little Apple podcast reviews.
Oh, boy.
If you haven't left one, we'd appreciate it. If you don't want to, we get it.
Just do whatever you want. You always do.
So we got one here. This one is from Josrak from the US&A. Please don't change a thing. 5 stars.
5 stars? Don't change a thing?
It's up our attitude.
No.
Personality.
I'm going to take name I'm taking of that the Apple review. I'm taking that and I'm running with it in every part of my life, in every interaction. Thank you, Josrak, for changing nothing about me.
I would only change it, and really, it would have to be somebody would have to just ask me to. Somebody that paid me a second of attention and just gave me like a little slice of attention.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm not changing for anyone except anybody who asks.
I know who I am, unless that needs to change.
Yeah. Only if it's in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this podcast very much, and I hope you both ignore the negative feedback because you do an excellent job. I normally don't write reviews, but I felt like I needed to counter the negative stuff from folks who probably never put together an audio production and are getting this great content for absolutely free. Please keep up the good work. And if you don't want to keep it up for free, go to patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Osrak, why are you promoting? Why are you promoting? Why are you promoting? And also, thank you. People are really gobbling up the Cecil Hotel shirts and some of the other shirts. A couple of them go to some great charities. So you can go to ghosttownpod.com/store or there's a link. Check it out. You know, pretty low priced, pre ship. You know, it's like whatever.
Listen, you're going to go outside soon. You're going to be around people.
You need a hoodie.
Get yourself some more sweats.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, come on. You don't even.
Don't change a thing until you have to.
We should get sweatpants.
I would love sweatpants.
I'm going to work on that.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. You inspired me.
This is how the magic happens. You just heard it.
So we're going to take a detour, unfortunately, to late 2009, Las Vegas, and the story of Jasmine Fiore, Ryan Jenkins, and Megan Wants a Millionaire. I always want to say Megan wants to be a millionaire.
No, she doesn't want that. She wants someone else handling her money and telling her and dictating her life.
Some of these reality shows have such a hold, and these titles have such a hold, like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to separate them.
Yeah, you're doing a mashup in your head.
So they go to the Ivy Hotel for drinks,
mm-hmm.
and it said that she spent a lot of time in the bathroom on the phone.
Okay.
Which I feel like if you watch a television show or movie, that seems like the thing that is the, why are you in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Who are you on the phone with?
Yeah.
We're in Las Vegas. I'm very, very drunk. I'm on Adderall. And, mm-hmm. you know, listen, I don't know that for a fact, but I'm not – passing judgment on Ryan Jenkins is, like, mm-hmm. least of my concerns.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make an assumption that there might be more than one beer involved. And a terrible person with a terrible past in this situation.
Yeah, and it's kind of what I was saying before, too, where it's like the thing, the impetus for the marriage, it's like all of this is fueled. Bad decisions are often fueled by other things besides the person themselves. I mean, including the person themselves.
So it was 12:30 a.m. She said she was on her phone with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it probably wasn't on the phone with her mom.
Yeah.
But whatever.
My mom goes to bed pretty early.
Yeah.
Hers doesn't.
And then he was screaming, who are you talking to?
Mm-hmm.
However that played out, you know, I wasn't there. I couldn't really find the information. It's not, there's audio of it. But you can assume that they were, you know, who are you talking to? It's just my mom. No, it wasn't. Don't lie to me. That's the, what I'm gleaning.
Yeah.
That word again. From this. And about an hour later, they went up to their room and they were still fighting. So let's fast forward a little bit. Police. And also, like, I didn't put it in triggers, warnings in the beginning. And again, I'm not leaning into that, but there's some parts that are kind of like harsh.
Okay.
So according to police, Fiore was found strangled, placed in a suitcase, and found Saturday morning in Buena Park, California. Oof. Which, if you're familiar with the landscape of Southern California, I would say it's east or west of Santa Ana, so it's mm-hmm. a little bit south of Los Angeles. Not that far, yes. Within 45 minutes of L.A. and mm-hmm. from, you know, it depends, 5-6 hours, depending how fast you're driving, 4 hours from Las Vegas. And her teeth and fingers were removed from her naked body to help, you know, not have her identified, which,
oh, God.
Listen, I mean, it's hard when you just got married, you know what I mean? You mm-hmm. got married, a few months previous, so it's all kind of happening. He actually called the police to report her missing the day the suitcase was found, conveniently.
Convenient.
And he wasn't, no other contact, and they could not, like, find him immediately upon finding the suitcase. So then they formally named him as the suspect.
Naturally.
And I think the only suspect, which...
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But also, listen, if it's not, you know what I mean? Then, you know, if it's not you, in mm-hmm. fairness, let's say, go back in time. If it's not you, then show up.
Yeah.
You know what you have to do.
Yeah.
Answer some questions.
Yeah.
Do what you supply DNA test or whatever they're asking for. And they issued a warrant for his arrest, and this is in the Orange County. So I guess Buena Park falls under Orange County, I guess. It's probably right at the top of Orange County.
It's kind of on the way to, like, Disneyland.
So they found Jenkins' car with an empty boat trailer attached in Washington, up towards Canada.
That's going to make you look pretty guilty.
A man matching his description was spotted at the tip of Point Roberts, a peninsula in Washington, accessible from the United States, by boat overland from Canada. They believe he just walked across the border. I guess that's how you do it. And when Megan mm-hmm. Hauserman, is that right? Is that
Hauser? Yep.
She was afraid to leave her apartment, thinking, I thought he's going to come after me next, which, not an unfair thing.
No, I mean, you did just, and not even romantically, but you did just reject him on national TV. He clearly has the capacity to kill people. I think that's a pretty sane worry.
So how she was identified was from the serial number on her breast implants.
Oh my God, that is so sad.
Yeah, that was the one part of this where I don't really do that many of these. Ugh. It was just like a really... Again, the whole thing is very, you know, it's not like it was any more or less said. When you hear things like that, when things get, like a human being gets reduced to a serial number on it was tough.
And again, the psychological place you have to be to mutilate a human body to that point is also just so incredibly disgusting.
Police traced Jenkins to Hope, British Columbia. And he's over the border. He had stopped at the Thunderbird Motel on August 20th, paid for 3 nights, did not check out on the 23rd. The manager checked in on him, and he was found dead, hanging from a clothes rack by a belt. So he cowered and killed himself. And, you know, he had a past. I mean, she, I think, made a report that he bruised her arm, or he pulled her by the arm, and who knows what else. I mean, that's things that were reported. He had a history as well, but it was things that happened in Canada. So when they vetted him, it was just the United States.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, how much more does it take?
Yeah. I mean, it's like that will never happen again. Like that, there must be safeguards in place so that if someone's from a different country, and there's a lot of Canadian people that are on American reality shows that discrepancy, or like, you know, I don't want to, you know, badmouth casting people, but they do things in service of getting things done for the show as quickly as they can, in a point where they want the producers to be as excited as they can about who's casting. And sometimes things fall to the wayside. It's a horrible thing to have happen. And I can't imagine. I would imagine there's new rules in place around this case.
Yeah, because this would fall on a lot of these lists of you know, reality shows that have, you know, just had really bad things happening either during it or around it. And, you know, again, that's, it's a lot of people. So it's, I guess it's going to happen, but there's just certain things that I feel like I think could be, you know, avoided with a very, just a little amount of work.
Yeah. And if I recall, they also used a different vetting, like background check, because they were Canadian. Are you going to, am I stealing your thunder?
No. That's it. They just didn't. I think they just were like, all right, well, good for the U.S. I don't know. Like, and I get maybe doing Google searches, even if they have somebody like a researcher, it'd be like, hey, just look this person up, see if anything jumps out. You know, the now you, I mean, there's, you can find things with a simple Google search with, you know, very little. You don't even have to spend any money to do any deep dives and to find something. But according to Jasmine's former boyfriend, Robert Hosman, says Jasmine was a beautiful person. She was a very caring individual. She loved her family and friends. A lot of the information you've seen in the news is not true. She's a beautiful person. I think some people were saying, I didn't get into it, but like, you know, that she was whatever, had a attitude, whatever, you know, those things where it's like, I'm wild or whatever.
It's like, no one deserves to die.
Yeah. Like, it's like, that doesn't like, make you feel, I don't want to hear
it. That's such bullshit when people say that, where it's like, nobody deserves this.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of person they are. I don't care what they've done. Like, that is not okay to try to essentially shame someone post-mortem for their lifestyle.
She's just a beautiful person. She had a lot going for her. So I just wanted to add something. And a lot of people had a lot of nice things. And then, as far as Megan Houserman, I, you know, was looking up some interviews with her, and, you know, she, I think she, in 2010, she got like a DUI or something like that, you know, and she, I think she's probably, we're just trying to find her way, and she seems to be doing okay, I suppose.
Yeah, she must be in her like late 30s now.
Yeah, maybe? something around there. And yeah, so she seems to, you know, with all that she seems to be doing, I'm sure she probably lives with a little bit of, you know, I'm sure it's got to be tough.
Oh, of course.
To live within. There's probably a huge talking point though, when it, you know, she seems to still be interviewed and, you know, she's kind of still in the reality world and stuff like that, but she seems to be, you know, doing well and, you know, just part of that. You're just now part of that zeitgeist, is that the right word?
Like, absolutely. I mean, I'm curious as to what she's done recently, if she's done any reality show or talking heads or like kind of things, but hopefully she's just enjoying her life. And like most people, like I may mention this to you, I know a couple people who were on Rock of Love, not on her season specifically, but it does feel like it is this insane part of their lives that they don't, you know, linger on every day. It doesn't define them, but it's of a place in time. And now, you know, now Megan's place in time is fraught with this horrific incident, and it's not as positive as I'm sure she assumed it might be. It's also like, this is our second full episode where someone has been, a body has been mailed to California.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to say
make it a third.